Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, the host of this program, and I'm so excited to have in the house right in front of me Ryan McGuigan. Ryan, we go back a ways, and I want to just tell people a little bit about who you are and what you've been up to. Ryan's a former prosecutor. He's been practicing criminal defense in the state and federal courts for more than 20 years. But the big news is, and the reason that we're really sitting down to talk today, is that you have 15 years of recovery. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm right behind you.
And you've got a lot of experience with the 12-step approach. You've helped hundreds of people, more than 100 people, on their journey to recovery through your hands-on approach. And you call yourself a lead interventionist. So explain to our listeners what that is.
Well, the lead interventionist is that I'm the head interventionist at secondhand interventions, and I've trained two other people in the approach that we take, but I'm pretty much the person that people hire to actually do the intervention.
So I'm very familiar with interventionists because I had one. Mm-hmm. I came home drunk from somewhere, and my family, just like on the show Intervention, sitting in my living room somewhere on a conference call, and there's this dude. I'm like, who is that? And this is a guy who's going to take you to rehab in Salt Lake City, Utah. Mm-hmm. So this guy actually took me to the airport, fed me vodka the whole way there so that I didn't, you know,
have a grand mal seizure.
Yeah. I almost got arrested in New York because I guess I was acting up on the plane, and made sure that I got my drunk ass to to a rehab, you know. So that's my experience with an interventionist. But I know that your approach and your legal background and your experience in recovery, Ryan, it has you thinking about things a little bit differently. What's your success rate and how do you do it?
Our success rate probably is around well, it's how you measure success, I guess.
Right.
That's the first question. So the way that I measure it isn't whether or not I get somebody to go to a rehab facility. That's fairly easy. Whether or not after 1 year they're going to pick up a 1 year chip, mm-hmm. that's how I measure myself. And a lot of times, I'll get that phone call, which is, hey, man, I met you a year ago, you know, next Tuesday, and I was wondering if you could come to my home meeting and give me my 1 year chip. And,
wow.
And that has happened several times. It just happened just about a month ago.
How cool is that?
With a dude that I did an intervention for a mutual friend of ours. I won't name them, but it was somebody that you and I both know that someone else was concerned about, and that's how I got that intervention. And the person had a jackpot and gotten a DUI down in New Haven, had a car accident, and it was pretty ugly, and it was obvious and apparent that this person needed to go get some help. And so I was able to take that person down to Florida, where they did get some help, and they have celebrated a year of sobriety, fixed the damage that they caused, made amends to the people that they hurt, and now is 12-stepping people himself. So that is a success story, and that's how I sort of measure myself.
Absolutely. Don't a lot of these people come to you because of your legal background, and we all, you know the name McGuigan. You've been around for a long time, and your father, may rest in peace. People come to you because usually they're in a jam. They're in a legal jam,
exactly,
right? Like,
yeah.
I had a guy that worked for me that, you know, lived in my finished basement for years, and now he's in jail for who knows how long because he just couldn't get straight.
Yeah.
But it's the legal stuff, right? So
that's how I started.
That is how you started.
Yeah.
And do you just help people that are in legal issues, or do you just help anybody?
No, I help anybody.
Okay.
The majority of the people that come into contact with me, through my legal services, through McGuigan Legal, or Rome McGuigan, as my old firm was. So I meet most of my clients through that. Now, the surprise is that they don't know that they're going to get an interventionist as a lawyer when they meet me.
Hmm.
And if they want to hire me as their lawyer, and I have determined that, you know, substance use disorder is at the heart of their criminal issue, I flatly refuse to represent anybody unless they will accept treatment and accept that that's the main problem of their lives. Because it's just, it's a simple question. When I sit down with somebody and I say, hey, Bill, Bob, whatever your name is, or Mary, you know, what do you got? And they say, well, you know, I got arrested in New Haven, and I'm in big trouble. Okay. When was the last time you were in trouble? Well, I got in trouble a few years ago. I had a jackpot in Middletown. I got arrested there too. All right. And what else do you have in terms of a criminal record? Well, when I was a kid, I got in trouble and I was at Riverside and I got loud one time and the cops came. All right. Anything else? Yeah, there was this one other time that I got.
It just so keeps coming and
they
coming.
They start going. And I go, all right, well, you have 7 arrests and, you know, 1 conviction or whatnot. How many of those things happened when you were stone sober? And it's just silence.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, uh-huh. And how many of those arrests happened when you were under the influence? And they don't even hesitate. They go, every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, uh-huh. I don't think you're a criminal. I don't think that you have a criminal problem, but you really have an underlying life problem. And every single time that you've had that life problem, it's been leading to your criminal problem. Don't you think if we could take care of the life problem, that you'll never have a criminal problem again?
Mm-hmm.
You see? Yeah. And I go, I can take care of your immediate life criminal problem, but I can also guarantee you that you will never, ever have, I can't guarantee that, but pretty much about 99%
right.
certainty that you'll never have another jackpot or a run-in with a cop again, because you've just told me that every single time it happens, you're drunk or you're high. So what I basically give people is the keys to never have to hire me again.
So there you go.
That's a terrible, terrible business model.
Well, I got to tell you, Ryan, and if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Ryan McGuigan, and he is with Second Chance Interventions. And, you know, it's hard because, you know, the person themselves, I'll speak for myself, you know, I knew I was bad, but I didn't really even know how to go get help. So it was the family. It's the family usually that wants the intervention, right?
Correct.
It's a family that jumps in there. And I know for my family, you don't know where to go. You don't know what to do, right? So because, you know, I'm not going to get on a plane with my mom or my sister and let them take me to rehab. That wasn't going to happen.
No.
Right? So it's just such an amazing concept that both you can cover the legal piece, which almost everybody who's got a substance abuse problem has or has. And then on top of that, you take them to facilities that you're familiar with and that you have relationships with and all over the United States, right?
Yeah, I take people, I've taken people to California, I've taken people to Nevada, taken people to Texas.
Florida.
Many, many times to Florida.
Yeah.
I go to Florida a lot. Tennessee. Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, Massachusetts, McLean, New York, Vermont.
How do you decide which one you're going to take these to?
A lot of it has to do with the demographic of the person that I'm dealing with. So if it's a young person, I suggest certain places. If it's an older person, I suggest different places. I had gone to a rehab 16 years ago. 16 years ago this February, and when I had gone down, I remember that I had a wonderful time. Matter of fact, going to rehab was probably one of the most satisfying, and I hate to say this, but it was the most one of the most fun trips I've ever had.
It's not supposed to be fun, Ryan.
Well, no, I don't. You know what? I don't think that's true.
How about that detox? How was that? Was that fun?
No, that wasn't. However, that was pretty brutal. But after the first week of that, I think that there's a lot of restorative power in laughter and in joy, because I was living a life without joy for so long that when I had gone to rehab and I literally rediscovered my sense of humor. And that was very healing and therapeutic for me, I think. So when I had gone down to rehab, I kind of noticed that there was, in the unit that I was in, it was men from 18 to 55. And a lot of the 18 to 30-year-olds didn't have the same kind of experience that the 30 to 55-year-old men did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in that I think I was 36 when I went down to rehab. So I was sort of that older kind of group, yeah, right in the cusp of,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
where it was younger kids mostly had stories of drug addiction.
Yes.
And then the older guys were alcoholics. And I was part of the older guy group. And a lot of the older guys, like who were in their 50s at that point, well, I'm in my 50s now, they really didn't want to be in a rehab facility, mm-hmm, with a bunch of young kids talking about drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, and you know this, is that in early recovery, there's a lot of alcoholics who get, I'm an alcoholic, but I'm not as bad as those kind of,
yeah,
druggy guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's some sort of a difference in addiction.
And there isn't.
No, there isn't. And that's the cool thing is that's what part of what going to rehab's about, is getting rid of those preconceptions.
Absolutely.
That you're any better than anybody else. You're not. You're just a bozo on the bus like the rest of us.
Yeah. Well, they flew me to Utah because I knew if they put me somewhere in Connecticut, I would run away. But, here we are, 13 years later. And I think what you're doing is a good thing. And so what is your message to people out there? Because people listening, everybody knows somebody. Everybody knows somebody that, knows that they have a problem and they need to get help.
Right.
But you also have to figure in, it's not cheap, man.
No.
Like, I think all the time about the car I could be driving,
yep,
if I didn't go to rehab. I think mine was over $30,000.
Yeah.
But, like my mom says to me, a funeral costs just about as much, and I was almost there.
Yep.
So, I mean, cost is one thing, but living life, clean and sober is another thing. Is it not worth every penny? But it's hard for some people to come up with the money.
It's hard for some people to come up with the money. It's also, addiction is brutal, and it sucks your trust right out of you. So if you see parents and you tell them, we can give your son a trip to rehab. It's going to cost $30,000. And what they always ask me is, well, what's the chances that it's going to work?
Mm.
Because there's always that calculation,
yep,
of I'm spending all of this money. Mm-hmm. Am I going to get anything out of it? And I tell them, it's not college. You're not going to get a degree. You're not going to get a piece of paper or something. You're not buying anything. You're buying really hope you're throwing kind of a lifeline to somebody, and whether they catch it or not, I don't know. But you have to throw it.
You do. Where I went was Journey in Salt Lake, and what I thought was interesting, it's if you paid that money, you almost had a lifetime membership.
Yeah.
Like I went there, and there are people that have been there two or three times.
Oh yeah.
I didn't want that. I didn't want to have to go back there because,
right,
when you think about it, 1 week in a detox, okay, in another state for, mm-hmm, me. Which I don't even remember, and then 28 days without a phone, without anything, away from my business, away from my family, it freaked me out.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning, I was like, what am I going to do? But then you have to tell yourself, I'm here, I'm either going to take what they give me, or I'm going to go right back to where I was.
Right.
I mean, didn't it kind of freak you out a little bit to think that you're going to be away and like on lockdown for all that time?
But that's terrifying. It's terrifying, and that's
especially at our age. We had careers, we have families.
I was told by my boss. Let's leave it at that. That if I went to rehab, I would never be a lawyer again. They would take my my law license away from me. Nobody would ever trust me again. Oh yeah, yeah. I had a very Irish boss, and discouraged me from going to rehab. That boss was away in Argentina when my sister actually took me to rehab.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had, and just for everybody's edification, my boss was my dad. I remember my dad telling me that, no, you're not an alcoholic. You're my son. My
right.
son's not an alcoholic.
Well, he probably didn't want the demons to come out, and he was probably one of the demons.
Could have been. All of his children have some sort of an issue. So, I would say that the parents have something to do with that.
Right. And you do worry about it because, when I was gone, my staff knew I was going. I mean, there's a lot of people. There's a lot that goes into an intervention.
Yeah.
It's not that you just show up to somebody's house or, you say, okay, pack your bag. And my daughter packed my bag with some granny panties in it, which I wasn't happy about. But anyway, but there's a whole process that goes into that intervention. And the family is usually involved because the person themselves, I was so out of it, I didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah.
But you worry about the stereotype and the labeling, but nobody knew I was gone for a month, believe it or not. They held down the business. But then as I start to got comfortable and I got some time under my belt and I shared with people my experience, do you know, I don't think I got anybody that said, oh, I don't want to work with you anymore. I got no negative comments. If anything, I got reinforcement.
Yeah.
And I found how many people that I was actually working with that were in the same boat as I was.
Right. And people almost trust you more because of it.
Yeah.
Because they say, if this person is brave enough to be honest mm-hmm. about the worst thing that they ever that ever happened to them, then I can trust them with the keys to my car. Because if I ask them, did you drive over 55 and they say no, I can trust that that's the truth because they have been, they're trustworthy about the most vulnerable thing about their entire life. So, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So how can people reach you? Second Chance Interventions. We're speaking with Ryan McGuigan, who is an interventionist. And is that something that you had to get certified for, that you had to work towards?
No, there isn't any certification in the state of Connecticut for interventionist with any of the health boards. So there isn't any real accreditation. And you can... just anybody who can 12-step someone is mm-hmm. an interventionist. Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest with the 12-step program that I'm involved in and that you're involved in. So it's not any secret sauce. Nevertheless, I studied Johnson Method, and then I ended up going to a seminar for a week for training on one particular modality. Which I use, and I read another book about Family First, and I studied that modality as
well.
And
that's what you need. You don't need certification. You don't need licensing. You don't need government overreach. You need common sense, and you need real-life experience,
yeah.
which you bring to the table as a lawyer and as somebody who's in recovery, too. That's what you need.
Yeah, and also being a lawyer, I'm already a fiduciary for my clients anyways, mm-hmm. And I already have a professional degree, and I'm already licensed with the state. So that gives people a certain comfort level. And I usually am doing this with clients of mine in the first, criminal clients of mine in the first place. So there is that comfort of professionalism, but really in a lot of the communications are protected as long as other people aren't around, and so there's a lot of protections with me being able to do it as an attorney.
How do people find you?
They can find me at secondchanceinterventions.com. They can find us on Facebook or on LinkedIn, or they can just go to my personal LinkedIn page. RyanUncensored.com, I think it is. and if you can find me on Facebook as well, just under Ryan McGuigan, it's public. And
just for those of you who aren't Irish, it's
MCGUIGAN.
That's right. Write that down. So what else are you up to? I mean, that's pretty much a full-time job. But, you know, it's one of those two. What, you know, you wake up on a Sunday, you never know what you're going to be doing on a Monday, right?
Yeah. So I have been working for an entertainment group out of Chicago, the Wrigley Entertainment Group, and they are interested in sort of what I do and a lot of the stories of my criminal clients that I do intervention work with and that I sort of help in guide in the recovery process. And so I've been working with them on a reality TV show to be shot here in Connecticut, or at least that's the plan. I've also been working with the board of film and television from the governor's office, and they've been extremely helpful. George Norfleet over there has been as helpful as anybody could. And so we're about a month into the production. Our sizzle reel, sort of like yeah. your first episode, is due on January 2nd, and then they bring it out to distributors to see if they would like to buy the content. And right now, we have somebody that we've filmed who was a referral to me from somebody who said that this person, you know, had some criminal problems, but really was on death's door.
Is this the woman you're raising money for?
Yeah, yeah.
So talk a little bit about that.
So I had this
Does
lady.
She have a name, or do
yeah,
we
her,
not?
Yeah, I can say her name. She's agreed to that. So her name is Jen W., and that's all. Mm-hmm. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And she's on my Facebook page as well. And I'm having a fundraiser for her. I was able to... find a rehab facility for her because she didn't have any money. She didn't have any money for me to represent her, and she didn't have any money for us to do an intervention for her. So I decided to do it pro bono. I do a lot of pro bono work.
Don't say that on the radio show. I know, Everybody's going to be calling. Well, you do it for free.
No, I try not to, but there are, for certain people, I can't say no.
So you're trying to raise money for her to, because the rehab facility, are you mentioning the name of
that?
Yeah,
oh my goodness, yes. So it's Highwatch Farm accepted her at a 50% discount. They gave her a scholarship.
That's up in Kent, Connecticut.
Yeah, it was in Kent, Connecticut, mm-hmm. and it's a place special to my heart.
Oh, it's a beautiful place. Oh, God, Bill W. up there.
I've brought a lot of people, and since 2021, they have increased the size of their facility. Yep. They have a new building. They have a new admissions building, and it's really incredible. What they've done is... it looks a lot like Mountainside. I mean, I don't want to compare them, but mm-hmm. but they both have these brand new, wonderful facilities that are top notch. And so I was able to bring her there with their grace. They gave her a 50%, and I've been raising money for her to cover the rest of it. We've gotten some fairly significant gifts from some great friends. And if anybody would like to contribute to this lady's recovery, she and I would certainly be grateful for it.
And how can people do that?
They can go on to my Facebook page, RyanMcGuigan.com, or Ryan McGuigan at Facebook One, whatever the heck it is. Just look it up on Facebook. It's on. It's public, and there is a link at the top of my page. My wife had said, you know, why don't you put it on... one of these sites that raises money, and I had looked
GoFundMe,
yeah, and I had looked at how much money they kind of
take, yeah,
and it wasn't my money, so I didn't think that I should, so I did it on Facebook. My wife calls me a dummy, but she's a lot younger than I am. I'm good at the intervention stuff. She's good at the marketing, and I'm horrible at that.
So how are you doing with your fundraising? You're almost there. You still need some help.
We still need some help. So I need about, about $3,000 more. We've raised already 15.
Yeah, 15,000. You only need three to help this lady out.
Yeah, and we can save a life, and she's already there.
How's she doing?
She's doing very well. She was scheduled for a 7-day detox, which, as you know, is quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's 44 and has a very long history of alcohol abuse. I don't want to tell too much of her personal story, but she has children and they're very supportive. But everybody's hopeful, yet realistic at the same time. And the most hopeful person is me. Mm-hmm. It always is. I always tell my clients the same thing whenever I drop them off. A year from today, you just make sure that you call me, and when you want to pick up that 1-year chip, you make sure that I'm the one who gives it to you.
Wow. Well, I really applaud you, Ryan, for doing what you do for people. I know it's your livelihood, but I also know those words pro bono come out of your mouth a lot because
too much.
I know. I know the feeling, right? That's also part of what recovery is all about, is giving back and doing service to others because we want to share what we have.
Yeah.
And you just hope that people get it. You know, you plant that seed and you hope that people get it. And there's so many people out there suffering from addiction, and there aren't enough resources anywhere.
No.
There really aren't. But if you're a family member and you've got somebody that you're concerned about, you know, just reach out. Try to figure out what kind of place you could go, what kind of place you can afford, and get that loved one help, because sometimes they're so messed up they don't even know they need it.
And the most of the counseling I do is with the family members.
Yes.
It's not with the person of care.
Mm-hmm.
It's with the people of concern. It's the people who make the phone call, and because they're terrified. They know that their loved one is close to death,
yeah.
And they're terrified, and they should be. And the best thing to do is to call somebody that knows where they are and knows where the person that they're concerned with is and knows literally the road back and how you get back, and that's what we know.
Yeah. And you probably refer resources to people, too. Tell them where they can go and look for certain
aftercare.
Things.
Aftercare. Yes,
aftercare.
We most certainly
do. You have to have a plan coming out. That's when most people don't make it, is when you know, you don't know what you're going to do and you haven't changed your people, places, and things. That's when people get in trouble. Well, I keep up the good work. We're going to look forward to you seeing you on TV.
I hope you've
been an actor for how long?
Since I was six.
Since you were six.
Yeah, I started a New Britain repertory.
I know. Too bad this is radio, because you're still very, very handsome. So, Second Chance Interventions, Ryan McGuigan, look him up, check him out. If you've got questions, if you've got someone out there that you're concerned about, at least, you know, make the call and see what you can do. And if you can save a life, and life is good, isn't it, when we're sober?
It is. It's much better.
Much better. I feel better every day when I wake up. No hangovers anymore, right?
Nope.
Well, Ryan, thank you again. And check him out on Facebook and all of his social media. And this has been a great conversation. And thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And thanks for you. No, wait. And thanks to you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use. Ann Baldwin, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you back here next Sunday.